Blog Talk Radio.
We talk about Sometimes I give away too quick. And then I get tired of trying to run away from who I am, who I want to be. Some days I'm better than others. I can be up and down. But see, I'm on my face. Found in your grace, this one thing will never change. You still love me, part of me. You still chose me. Can it be? Every time, every time you see it, you see it. You still love me, love me, part of me. Trouble at heart, I think I put it down. I do it all by myself, unless I'm healthy sometimes. Another smile and being secure. How do you get me? And now it's time to know what I am. Some days I'm better than love. You put me up and I'm down. Put me on my mistake. I'm found in your grace. And this one thing will never change. You still love me, God of me. You still love me, God of me. You still love me, God of me. Every song, every song, every part of me. It all seems to be lost. You still love me. Love me, you love me, you love me,
In the presence of the Lord, not no one turns time serves body for him. Every song, because we sing in the presence of all, no one has to say words. Couldn't be made now. I give up and see for this treasure. Oh, I don't want you to go. My heart is burning in your presence. From watching, oh, my heart burns. Anybody feel like I'm feeling?
Again, hallelujah, again. Come to give you praise, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, again. Lord, we bless you. We praise you, O God, for your mighty acts, O God, for your mighty presence, O God. We exalt you. We magnify you. We glorify you, O God. Hallelujah, again. We give you the highest praise this morning, O God. Hallelujah is the highest praise. We thanking him and praising him every day that we get, every chance that we get. Holy, holy, mighty God, you are worthy to be praised, Jesus. So we praise you, so we glorify you, so we exalt you this morning and every morning that we get. While we are in the land of the living, we are going to praise you. We are going to exalt you, Jesus. This morning, O God, we thank you, O God, for rising us up this morning, keeping us through the night, bringing us into this marvelous day, O God. The weather is so beautiful. And God, we thank you that even that there were not many lives lost in the hurricanes, O God. So far, only two people lost a life. Two lives is too much, but it's better than 22 or 202. So we thanking God and praising God, for God hears our praise. When we cry out to him, he hears us, and he answers us, oh God. So we are excited. We are delighted every time God answers our praise, and he tells us that he hears us, that he's listening to us. He allows us to know that he's listening to us, that he is not deaf, that he is not sleeping. On our call, he hears us. And my God, I'm so excited, you know, every time that God does great things in for his people, it excites me. I don't know about you all, but it excites me just to see and hear that God is doing wonders in the land of the living, hallelujah, for his people. Hallelujah, glory to God. We are so excited to be here this morning. Now, we were praying for some people in South Carolina and different states that's been dealing with a storm, and we pray for our daughter and our grandsons and great-granddaughters and great-grandsons in Georgia, praying for them that the storm would just be favorable to them. And thus far, they have been doing well. They've been doing all right. So we are blessed to know that. And we are happy to know that they didn't lose the electricity and they have their water and everything is working according to God's plan. But we want to go into this word this morning. We're going to be talking about the persecuted Christian. You know, every time you look at the news, if you're a person that likes the news like I do, I like to listen. I like to hear what the news is saying. And I go on YouTube or one of those places where you're going to hear the truth. At least somebody's going to tell you the truth. Some person's going to be on there that's going to research the word and tell it to you. They're not going to give you what the regular news people are giving you, because they give you what they want you to hear. But what you need to hear, they're not giving to you, just like some places of worship. They'll tell you what they want you to hear, but they don't tell you what you need to hear, that you need to live holy, that you need to be upright before God. They're going to tell you, well, you're doing good, as long as you come to church, as long as you go to church, as long as you pay your tithes or you give your offering, you're all right. God recognize, God know you're going to sin and all this kind of stuff they tell you. You know, tell that you don't need to sin. Or why sin? Because if you continue to sin, that you will die spiritually. You know, tell you, some of them say, well, you got, that's your life, you can live. You know, well, God give the life to you, but you got to live it according to how he instructs you to live. God expect us to live a certain way. Not any old way. We are his children. We are his sons and his daughters. He expects us to live a certain way. You're representing God here in the earth. Today we're going to talk about the persecuted church. There's a woman, Christian lady in the Finlands, and I read that on the YouTube news, and they say that they were asking for people to donate to help her to pay her court costs and all this stuff, and she is being charged for declaring the word of God. She's being charged for speaking God's word pertaining to homosexual, living a promiscuous lifestyle. And she talked about is that God made man and woman, and he made woman for the man. Not a man for a man or a woman for a woman, but man for a woman and a woman for man. And they're trying to put her in jail in the Finlands. They want to put her in jail for a long, long, long time. They claim that her words were heard into people. You know, if you preach the truth, people are going to be hurt. As long as you preach the truth, they're going to be hurt, because you're preaching what God say to preach. As long as you're preaching the truth, people are not going to be in agreement with you. They're not going to love you. They're not going to care for you. Matter of fact, they're going to want to kill you. You understand? They're going to want to kill you. I preached a sermon back in 2012 or 13. It says, stand for something or you will fall for anything. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And I mean stand for truth. If you don't stand for righteousness, you'll find yourself walking in darkness. You'll find yourself living according to the world system. Not the word of God, but according to the world system, you'll find yourself living like that because why? You're trained to please the world instead of please God, doing what God says. Here in the book, Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word. We ask you, O God, that you allow the word to flow out of my belly that would bring life. O God, that would even give me more life. Lord, start with me first. O God, enlighten me even to this word that you are pouring out this morning. In the book of John, chapter 17, let's drop a word here quick this morning. Tomorrow I'm going to try to get to this lady's house. I got to take these cameras down so I can charge them up and put them back up on Saturday morning so I can get back here to do the message. But I want to go. I was going to go there today, but it's a little windy and I don't want to go up on the ladders. I don't want to go up on the ladder and be blown off the ladder. You know, because I had dreams about that too. You know, so I'm going to just go over there tomorrow. If the weather is good, I send her a message this morning. If the weather is good, I will come tomorrow as long as she's available. But here in John chapter 5, verse 16 says, so the Jewish leaders began harassing Jesus for breaking the Sabbath rules. That is out the New Living Translation. In the book of John, the King James Version, let's look there and see. It's talking about persecution. Okay, John chapter 5 and verse 16. Hallelujah, glory to God. God is faithful. God gives us everything that we need in order for us to live the life that pleases him. The Bible says, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him or kill him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. He had healed and restored a man on the Sabbath day. Jesus had done a lot of things on the days that they didn't want him to do things. Jesus is not doing stuff to please people. He is doing what the Father said to do. And we got to get to that place in our walk with him that we begin and continue to do things the way that he has instructed us, ordained us to do them. We finally said, well, I ain't going to say this because Sister So-and-so is not going to like if I say this. I'm not going to do this because Brother So-and-so is not going to like if I do it this way. But how did God tell you to do it? What did God tell you to say? You get to the service and you don't want to preach, you don't want to pray, you don't want to sing, you don't want to dance. You just want to stay there and look stupid. Our first objective is to the kingdom of God. We must be willing and ready to declare what thus says the Lord. It doesn't matter who hit you, who want to stone you to death, who want to talk bad about you. Just say what thus says the Lord. Hallelujah. Say what God said to say. And then close your Bible, pray, thank God, and go home. Go eat some fried chicken. Go to McDonald's. Go to Kentucky Fried Chicken. Go do something that please God. Hallelujah. But don't please the people. Because what the people say, you can please some of the people some of the time, but you can't please all the people all the time. You can't please them all the time. They're going to find something to complain about. They're going to find something to charge you with. You didn't do it this way. You didn't do it that way. John chapter 5, the New Living Translation. But Jesus replied, my Father is always working, and so am I. What are you supposed to be doing? You're supposed to be working. You and I. We're supposed to be working for the kingdom. We're supposed to be doing kingdom work. But we find that we become lackadaisical. We don't want to do anything. We join in the crowd. The crowd that don't want to do anything, all they want to do is complain. Talk about people. No, that's not what God called you for. God called you to teach, preach, sing, dance, do whatever your gifting is, whatever he gifts you, whatever gift that God has given to you, God wants you to use it for his glory. God doesn't want you to sit on your do nothing, sitting on your hand doing nothing. But God wants you to proclaim the gospel. Jesus said his Father worked, and he worked also. So the Jews, the Jewish leaders try all the harder to find a way to kill him. For he not only broke the Sabbath, he called God his Father, thereby making himself equal with God. What do you think they're going to do to us when we say that we are the sons and daughters of the Most High God? When we declare that God has anointed us, appointed us, and approved us? When we say that we are anointed for God's work? People look at us like we're crazy when we say we're anointed. God anoint me to preach the gospel. God has chosen me. Even before I was in my mother's belly, he knew that I was going to be smoking crack cocaine. He knew that I would be running behind all these different women. God knows all the things. It just don't come up on him haphazardly. It don't surprise him what we're doing when we start to come up short. It doesn't surprise God. God knows every mistake that we're going to make. He knows all that we have already made. He knows every one that we're going to make. God knows all. So you might as well begin to start praising him, thanking him, glorifying him. The Bible says, Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, the Son of Man can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. In fact, the Father will show him how to do even greater works than healing this man. Then you will truly be astonished. Jesus said, you really will be surprised then. Because I'm going to do, the Father going to allow me to do greater works. Even greater works than just healing this invalid man, this paralyzed man. I'm going to do greater works. You see, this is the thing that separates Jesus from all the others. He was able, John the Baptist preached with authority. He preached with power. But Jesus was opening blind eyes. He was unstopping deaf ears. He was calling the crippled to walk. He was raising the dead. See what I'm saying? So he had a greater testimony than John the Baptist. He had a greater testimony than any one of the preachers. He did what most of them didn't do and couldn't do. You understand? Hallelujah. We have to understand that we are filled. We are empowered to do mighty works. Because Jesus said, he said the works that he did, we should do and even greater works. But some of us are so lackadaisical, we are comfortable in the zone that we are in. We are comfortable in the zone that we are in. We don't want to press. We don't want to step out the boat and walk on water. We say, I believe I can walk on water. I believe I can do this. I believe I can go down to the hospital and pray for the sick and the sick will be healed. But we're not going down to the hospital. We're not going to test the spirit that's within us. We're not going to test it. We're going to talk it. You know, when we get powerful, let me tell you when we get powerful. When we are with other Christians that we are familiar with, we are powerful. And we are show off on the prayer line. We are show off on the blog talk radio. We are show off on any place that we are familiar with, that we know the people. But we're not going to step over and say, well, look, I'm going over to Kenya. I'm going over to Zimbabwe. I'm going over to Ghana. I'm going over to Nigeria. I'm going to this place or that place and preach the gospel. No, we are finding all type of excuse not to go. Well, I don't think God want me to go. I'm not able to go. And we talk about how sick we are and how we are not healthy enough and all that kind of stuff. But the same God that called you out of darkness and brought you into his marvelous light that empower you to even maintain the words of God in your heart is the same God can heal you and strengthen you when you're in another country preaching the gospel. We have an excuse for everything. so we don't do what God says. If you know how bad sometimes my body feels, at almost 75 years old, how bad my body feels, and I just lay hands on parts of my body, sometimes lay hands on my own head, and I begin to talk to God about healing my body, making my body whole. I said, Lord, I can't preach about healing if my body is falling apart. I can't tell somebody about the healer if I'm constantly sick. Hear Jesus speak. Jesus speak. Listen what he says. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. In fact, the Father will show him how to do even greater works than healing this man. Then you will truly be astonished. You truly be amazed. For just as the Father gives life to those he raises from the dead, so the Son gives life to everyone he wants. In addition, the Father judges no one. Instead, he has given the Son absolute authority to judge. So I want to let you know, Father's not going to judge anybody. Jesus is the one that coming to judge the quick and the dead. He's the one that coming. So that everyone will honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Everyone who does not honor the Son is certainly not honoring the Father who sent him. It's the same way. If the people don't honor you as a preacher, as a minister of the gospel, they're not honoring the one that called you and sent you. Because why? You are representing the one who called you and sent you. And hopefully the one who called you and sent you, his name is Jesus. Do you hear what I'm saying? No. Jesus honored the Father in everything that he does. We must honor Jesus in everything that we do. We find it difficult. Because most of the time what we say, and we tell people, she's not my boss, he's not my boss. And we'll talk out loud. We don't have any shame. Who is that man that's talking to me and telling me what to do? Who she think she is? Who he think he is? Because we have this earthly spirit that's in us, that's controlling us. We have not thoroughly connected to Christ Jesus. We are not thoroughly connected to him. Somewhat we are holding on to the hem of his garment, but we have not gotten to a place where we can hold his hand. Because we have not completely surrendered to him. We are still holding on to some of our old self. That's why you see folk can get so mad at you. If it was possible for them to cut you in pieces, they will cut you in pieces, physically cut you in pieces. They'll cut you up with words. But if they could cut you up with a machete, they would cut you up. They would cut me up. They would cut us up. Why? Because they're not in agreement with us. Glory to God. Jesus continued to speak in this text. We're talking about persecution of the righteous. That means the person that's in right standing with God, the one that is doing the things that God called him to do or called her to do, they're going to be persecuted. I want you to know that. If you are preaching and teaching and you are watering down the word, like Deacon Fraser said, a Kool-Aid message, if you're giving the people a Kool-Aid message, they're not going to bother you. Because as a matter of fact, you're not going to talk about sin. You're not going to talk about homosexuals. You're not going to talk about lesbians. You're not going to talk about fornicators. You're not going to talk about adultery. You're not going to talk about cussing and drinking and drunking and all this stuff. You're not going to talk about lying. You're not going to talk about gossiping. You're not going to talk about sin, S-I-N. You're going to talk about everything that suffice their itchy ears. You can talk good stuff that make them feel happy. Oh, as the Lord said, I know the Lord said it. He's going to bless you. And sister, if you keep coming to the church and paying your tithes, brother, if you keep giving your offerings, God's going to bless you. Because he said it in his word, given it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, shall man give into your bosom. And you know that the blessing of the Lord is making rich, and he adds no sorrows to it. The Bible says if you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding in all your ways, acknowledge him, he'll direct your path. Brother, I'm telling you the truth. No, God, beloved above, he wished, above all things, he wished that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. I'm telling you, it's the word of God. It's the word of God. God wants you to prosper. But they don't tell you that God wants you to be holy as he's holy. They don't tell you that. God wants you to live different to the world. He said that you are in this world, but you're no longer of this world. Physically, your body is in this world, but your spirit man is not operating according to this world. You understand? Your spiritual man is not operating according to this world. Why? Because your spirit man is being renewed every day, even from the first day that you surrender, that we surrender to Christ, that we repent and surrender to Christ and give our heart, invite Christ to come and live in our hearts. Your spirit man begin to change. You begin to become a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old things have been passed away, leaving you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Not some things. All things have become new. You operate in the newness of the Spirit right now. This is why people want to persecute you. This is why they want to call you names that are not in the book. They want to talk things about you and say things about you that you're not doing. Because why? You are the church. You are the holy church. And now you become the persecuted church. All over the world, you go on the internet, you can see churches being burned, Christians being beheaded, Christians being burned alive. Go and search for yourself. Don't take my word for it. You can't preach the truth and don't get persecuted. You say, preachers are better. It's okay for a man to live with a man. Now you see the chef, Barack Obama's chef, was writing a book about Barack and all that he was doing, his lifestyle. And they get a glimpse of it. What happened? They kill him. Because Barack Obama got all homosexual tendencies. And see, when you begin to talk like that, they will kill you. They will send people to kill you. Not just persecuting, because the Bible says he come not only to kill, to steal, kill. He come to kill. Okay? Listen to what he says, John 10:10. Let's read it from the book and see what the book says. Now keep your hand there in chapter 5. We're just moving around as the Spirit is giving us utterance. He says, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill, and to destroy. He said, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus said, the thief didn't only come to steal and kill and destroy. He come to do more than that. Hallelujah. But Jesus come that you would have life and have it more abundantly. They're going to persecute you the more that you testify that Jesus is Lord, the more that you testify that you're living for Christ and that you're going to die for Christ. Guess what happened? They'll put you in the grave quick. Because you're going to say things that they don't want you to say. They want you to be in agreement with their sin. And if you're in agreement with the sin, say, oh, I love that preacher over there. That preacher's a good preacher, man. I love hearing that preacher, man. He is good, man. She's a good woman. But when you stand up for truth, sound doctrine, we see it on Blog Talk Radio, really, sound doctrine makes sound people. When you stand up for truth, they don't want to fool with you. They don't want to hear you. They don't want to see you. You understand? You got women that are letting the dogs into their vagina. You understand? You got women that allowing the dogs to do that to them now. This is the time. This is what happened. This is what the Bible says. Bestiality. They are allowing the dogs to have sex with them. They're getting stuck to the dog. Like a dog stuck with another dog. They're stuck with the dog. Having sexual intercourse with a dog. This is what's happening now, because this is the time that we're in. This is the satanic time that we're in. Satan is doing the last run. He's making his last run on this highway of evil. That's why you see so many men you would say important people, rich people. They have all types of luxuries, but they don't have Jesus. And you see, they're not afraid. Now they're going on the television screen, and you can see men kissing men and women kissing women. When I was growing up as a teenager, you couldn't see that on TV. If they were doing it, but they were doing it on the cover. We call it doing it behind closed doors. But now they come out in the clear, because Satan now, you know, he's running his last run. He's on his highway, last trip on the highway before God condemn him. God condemn him. That's the one that God going to condemn. He's not going to condemn you. Your sin will condemn you, you know. But Satan, God going to condemn him to the lake of fire and brimstone. If you live contrary to God's word, your sin will condemn you. Our sin will condemn us. Jesus says, in addition, the Father judges no one. Instead, he has given the Son absolute authority to judge, so that everyone will honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Anyone who does not honor the Son is certainly not honoring the Father who sent him. I told you that before. I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. This is Jesus speaking. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death to life. See what Jesus is saying? Jesus speaking this thing. He is letting this thing be clearly understand. You can't love the Father and not love the Son. Hallelujah. Jesus said it clearly right here in John chapter 5. It's impossible. You have some people say, well, I love God, but I don't love Jesus. I don't believe that he's the Messiah. You have a lot of Jews that say that. They believe in Jehovah God, but they don't believe in Jesus the Messiah. Matter of fact, they're still looking for him to come. They're still waiting for the Messiah. He's been here, and he's coming again. The Bible says, I tell you the truth, Jesus says, those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life. Hear what Jesus is saying. This is Jesus writing Matthew chapter 5, verse 24. He says, not Matthew, John chapter 5, excuse me. I got that in because I have a scripture on Matthew 5 too, but the righteous. This is the message today. The persecution of the righteous. That's the message. Jesus continues, said, he says, I assure you that the time is coming. Indeed, it is here now, when the dead will hear my voice and the voice of the Son of God, and those who listen will live. No, he's not talking about the ones that are in the grave. I want you to understand that. Because people say, how the dead here? They're not rising from, they haven't been resurrected yet. He's talking about those who've been dead in spirit. Those who have been dead in spirit, spiritually dead. You got a lot of people that are walking around, they're spiritually dead. And it's not till their spirit man has been awakened by the life and blood of Jesus Christ that they can hear him. They have repented. They have submitted their life to him. They come alive. He make all things new. Remember we said that? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 17. He make all things new. That old spirit, that old dead spirit that you have now come alive. You have some people sometimes they go to church. I have some people that come to church on Sunday. And I look at them from the altar, because you can see. The higher you get, the more you can see, and the more can see you. Do you know that? When you sit in the pew, most people, only the person sitting next to you or behind you, in front of you, but most people don't see you. But when you get up on that altar, you begin to preach. Everybody check you from head to toe. They can see you. If you got shoes with strings or tassels, they can see. If you didn't zip your pants, they can see all that. If you didn't button the button, they can see all that. They can tell everything, see everything. But you also can see everything about them. You can see their countenance. They're in the house of the Lord and they look like they have sucked a sour lime. They come to the door with their face like they suck a sour lemon. There's no joy in them. How can you be in the presence of the Lord, hearing the word of God, and have no kind of joy in you? No joy. Listen to what he said. Jesus speaking to us by... Somebody called him and then bless me, Lord Jesus. My nostrils are itching me. Here in chapter 5, verses 25, King James. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall hear, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and have given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. See, he is God in the flesh. And the Father has given him authority to judge everyone because he is the Son of Man. Don't be so surprised, Living Translation. Indeed, the time is coming when all the dead in their graves. Now he's going now talking about the ones in the grave. Before he talked about ones that dead in spirit. But now he talked about the ones that really in the grave now. That are dead. The spirit has left them. He said, indeed, the dead in graves will hear the voice of God's Son. And they will rise again. Those who have done good will rise to experience eternal life. And those who have continue in evil will rise to experience judgment. Do you hear that? You know, I always say that I want to see him as a king. I don't want to see him as a judge. I want to see my Savior as a king. Why? So in order to see him as a king, you got to live that righteous life. And I'm talking about persecution of the righteous this morning. If you decide, if you make up in your mind that you're going to live a righteous life, expect persecution. You don't have to do anything to anyone. It's just that anointing that's on your life that's going to attract persecution. Unless you are talking like the world. When you're responding like the world, you're not going to get no persecution. But when you talk about and say, look, judgment is coming and you got to stop sinning. You got to stop that lifestyle that you're living. You got to turn away from darkness and turn to the light of God. You have to repent of your sin. You start to tell people because God's going to judge you. Not that God don't love you. God still loves you even though you're in your sin. But he hates the sinful lifestyle that you're living. When you start to talk to people like that, they're going to try to kill you. You're lucky if they don't kill you right there on the spot. But if you are sugarcoating the message, oh, they love you. They love you to life. They love you to life. Hallelujah. Because you should accord in the word. Jesus says, if I were to testify of my own behalf, my testimony will not be valid. But someone else is also testifying about me. And I like this, what he says. He said, and I assure you that everything he says about me is true. In fact, you sent investigators to listen to John the Baptist. And his testimony about me was true. Of course, I have no need for human witnesses. Oh, my God. I read this here in the NLT this morning. It messed me up. Jesus said he has no need of human witnesses. Do you hear what I'm saying? But we are called to be witnesses. Jesus says, I have no need of human witnesses. But I say these things so you might be saved. John was like a burning and shining lamp. And you were excited for a while about his message. But I have a greater witness. This is another one here that really took me to another dimension. I'm reading here out the NLT. And I'm going to read it in the King James. He says, John was like a burning and shining lamp. And you were excited for a while about his message. That is verse 35. He says, King James Version says, he was a burning and a shining light. And you were willing for a season to rejoice in his life. But Jesus says, but I have a greater witness than that of John. And what is he talking about? The works now. He says here that, but I have a greater witness than John. My teaching and my miracles. The Father gave me these works to accomplish. And they prove that he sent me. See, John was talking about baptism and repentance. Hallelujah. But Jesus now performing miracles to show that he is not only man, but he is God in the flesh. He is opening blind eyes, physically blind people he's opening. He is causing the dumb, that's physically dumb, can't speak, to talk. He's causing those that are crippled, paralyzed, to get up from off the ground and walk. So this is testifying for him. This work that he's doing is testifying of all. Wherever you go, you can say, Jesus, a woman touched him, and her blood dries up. He goes into a little girl's bedroom and touch her hand and lift up all the bed, and she received life. His works was testifying for him. When you begin to declare who Jesus is and what he's done in you, the Bible says in Revelation 12 and 11 that you have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony, and you no longer love your life unto death. When you begin to talk with power, speak with power, and live with power, people are going to come against you. Folk don't walk away from you because you're not bowing to them. You're only bowing to Jesus. You see, folk want you to bow to them, and then they'll be with you. If that's what you're looking for, you already have your reward. You already had your reward. I was going to do a job today to get paid. God told the woman, I didn't want to get money until I finished the job. And I laid there on the bed. I got up and took a shower, prayed. And the Holy Spirit said, don't go today. Go tomorrow. That's okay. I sent her a text. She ain't sent me back a text yet because I told her I would come back on Saturday. But if I go Saturday, then I got to go back Monday. If I go tomorrow, then I go back Saturday morning. I put these cameras back up. Because I got to go take them down and charge them. I didn't know they had to be charged. She ordered the charge. She bought the cameras. So I got to go take them down. I got them all up on the house. 7 cameras I got around the house. 1 I got to put on the garage. I didn't have the other drill. So I take the other drill with me tomorrow, and I put that one up, put the bracket up, and put all the cameras, all 8 cameras on charge. It'll take a few hours to charge them up. You only got to charge them one time. After that, the sun will do the charging. But she had the books and all that stuff out of the house. She should have charged. I was looking over. She called me, even called me, tell me she's looking over the paper. But she never told me. Here, glory to God. That's just a sidebar. Jesus says, listen. Ooh, he talked about the greater works. Verse 37 says, and the Father who sent me has testified about me himself. You have never heard his voice nor seen him face to face. And you do not have his message in your heart because you do not believe me. And the one he sent to you. You search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but the scriptures point to me. Yet you refuse to come to me to receive life. Jesus is speaking powerful to these people. You are searching the scriptures because you think the scriptures are going to give you salvation. But no, you have to go to Jesus to get salvation. You have to receive him as your Savior, as your Lord. You got to receive the finished work of the cross. Hallelujah. People say, well, I believe Jesus, but I don't believe that he died on the cross. You got some preachers saying this stuff. I have this guy, what's his name, from Texas. You know the guy, what's his name? He sings. Had a big church over there. He was at Azusa Church. Can't remember his name, and it's not hitting my tongue, but he's a black man. Had the slick hair, grease hair. And he said that he don't believe in heaven and hell. He had a big church. And when he said that, the people start leaving the church. The people walk away from the church. How are you going to preach the gospel? Jesus said it's heaven and it's hell. If Jesus said it's heaven, If God said it's heaven, and it's hell, you got to believe what God said. He's God. He's the one that spoke everything into existence. How are you going to come up in your human mindset and disregard what God is saying? Jesus says, for I have come to you in my Father's name, and you have rejected me. Yet if another come in their own name, you gladly welcome them. This is what Jesus says. And we see that all the time. Excuse me. You got bishops, you got apostles, you got evangelists and teachers, prophets and prophets will come to them, come to you, and they will research a lot of stuff and give you all this stuff that you get excited about. But will not receive what Jesus says. They refuse to go to him. He says, no wonder you can't believe, for you gladly honor each other. But you don't care about the honor that comes from the one who alone is God. Let me read that in King James. I like it in the King James Version. King James 5 and 44. And this is what he says. Powerful, powerful verse. I have this here black in parentheses with me. He says, how can you believe which receive honor one from another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? They want honor from, look, they were bowed on to a chief apostle, a bishop, an archbishop, an evangelist, apostle, prophet. They bowed on to a person, a lay person, an ambassador of God, so they can get a piece of paper that said, well, you're a minister, you're an elder, you're an evangelist, you're a pastor, you're a teacher. So they can get a piece of paper that they can put on the wall so people come in the door to see in the office. But they don't want to go to God who gives you eternal honor, honor that no one can take from you. Because when he honors you, nobody can take that honor. Let's go to another scripture. Go to Psalm 7. Psalm 7. And hear what he says. We're talking about persecution of the righteous. Psalm. Book of Psalms. And verse 7, listen to what he says. Concerning Cush of the tribe of the Lord, concerning Cush, the tribe of Benjamin, David's son. I come to you for protection, O Lord my God. Save me from the persecutors. Rescue me. If you don't, they will maul me like a lion, tear me to pieces with no one to rescue me. O Lord, my God, if I have done wrong or am guilty of injustice, and if I have betrayed a friend or plundered my enemy without cause, then let my enemies capture me. Let them trample me into the ground and drag my honor in the dust. Interlude. He paused. Arise, O Lord, in anger, and stand against the fury of my enemies. Wake up, my God, and bring justice. Gather the nations before you. Rule over them from on high. Now, see, you have to go. David is going before the Lord. And he's crying out to God. He even laid his case before the Lord that if done anything wrong, let them drag him to the ground. Let them scandalize his name. Hallelujah. But David knows he's not done wrong. Not these folk that coming to kill him. Matter of fact, he had done good for them. He had done good for King Saul. And Saul wanted to kill him. He has raised his son good, Absalom. And Absalom wanted to kill him. He was his main enemies. The people that you do good becomes your enemies. Because why? Jealousy. Jealousy. Do you hear me? Listen what he says. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. We don't want to go too further on there. But you can read that whole Psalm 7. It's all about persecution of the rest. Go chapter 10, Psalm 10, and verse 2. The wicked arrogantly hunt down the poor. Let them be caught in the evil they plan for others. See, the very same persecution that they're bringing against us will take them out. Don't let them disturb you. Don't let them cause you to deviate from the teaching and preaching of God's word. Don't let them do it. We're talking about the persecution of the righteous. Who is the righteous? God's church. The church of the living God. You and I, not the building. Because, you know, we have taught, we have heard this from a child. From a child that we're going to the church. I'm going to church tomorrow. I see you at church. Well, you the church. Maybe you're seeing the church right now. I have to keep pressing this all the time. And let people know, no, we're not going to the church. We are the church. Listen to what he says in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, verse 11, verse 10 to 12. God blessed those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. You hear that? God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are the followers of Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. Because you are my followers. He said, be happy about it. Be very glad. For a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. Hallelujah. Your ancestors were persecuted before you. Why are you worried? Jump down to verse 44. Hallelujah. Same book, chapter 5. But I say, love your neighbor and pray for those who persecute you. You know it's hard. Jesus says this. You have heard, verse 43, you have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, this is what Jesus says. He said, but I say, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven, for he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good. And he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. In other words, Jesus says, you're going to act just like the Father in heaven. This is why he said you've got to let your light shine. Let the light represent righteousness, holiness, right standing with God. Let the light shine that men will see your good works and glorify the Father. Hallelujah, that's in heaven. Don't let these folk take you out of your zone. I hear one person who should come on Blog Talk, don't come anymore. And it says, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. You're messing with me, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. No, the person is loony, loonier than ever. Loony, 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 loony. Because why? They're giving away a piece of their mind. As soon as somebody, I say something wrong, they give somebody a piece of their mind. I've been so busy, I'll tell you something, yeah. And it just came to me. The prophetess Kirstie had called me and leave a message, and I never got back to her. Because I've been doing doctor visits, dealing with pain in my body, working. I got to give her a call later, see what she needs to pray about and what she needs and what's going on. Here in the book of Matthew chapter 10, Jesus speaks again. But when they persecute you, this city, flee into another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the city of Israel till the Son of Man be come. You hear what Jesus said? Don't let the people distract you with persecution. Don't let them distract you with calling you names and talking about you. Don't be moved by that. You got a mission. You have an assignment. It's on your life. The assignment is on your life. You have to follow the kingdom mindset, the kingdom lifestyle. People, as I was thinking about this, because I didn't put this together this morning, and then my right knee, whatever you call that bone, that funny bone on the knee, just slipped out of place. And I was dealing with some serious pain yesterday evening. I couldn't step on my foot. I took some medicine. I took some painkillers, a couple of painkillers, and they put you to sleep. I mean, just knock you out. And I was gone. I was supposed to talk to a minister lady from North Carolina. I was praying with them and her family. The kids had to steal from college. And I was talking to them. And I was supposed to get back and give us a good word. And next thing I know, I was gone. Out cold. My knee was so bad. So here in the book of Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, in the Living Translation. The Bible says, let's start at verse 1. Meanwhile, this is the conversion of Saul. Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way. The way what? The way of the cross, the way of Jesus Christ, the way of holiness. He found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. We're talking about persecution of the righteous. Saul is doing this, and he really thinks that he's working for God. He really thinks so until this encounter that he's going to have with Jesus right now. So when you are preaching and teaching the gospel, expect persecution. And some people are going to persecute you that thinking that they're really doing God justice, that they're operating for God. Some are going to think that, and some are going to already know that they're working for the devil. But listen to what he says. He wants to bring them to Jerusalem bound and chained. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Jesus is being persecuted. Do you hear what I'm telling you? When folk is persecuting you and talking all about you, when you're talking about the man of God, the woman of God, and cutting them up, they're people that really living for God. I'm not talking about these ones that half dipping, half slipping, and half all that. I'm talking people that really living for God. You are really persecuting God. God, Jesus himself says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? He responds. Saul asks, and the voice replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. You see, some of these folk, this is why you can't let them take you out of your position. You can't let them take you out of focus. While they're acting up and coming against you, you need to get into a prayer zone. Get into a mindset of prayer and pray for them. Because God will draw them into the kingdom. Don't flip out and act a fool. Go to 2 Timothy. Got a lot of scripture to give. Go to 2 Timothy. And we're staying in the NLT. 2 Timothy. The persecution of the righteous. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I did all, put up all this morning. Didn't have it last night. Well, this is what the Lord gave me. He gave me the topic this morning. And he gave me John chapter 5, verse 16. The persecution of the righteous. Here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we have verses 10 to 12. But you, Timothy, certainly know that, know what I teach, and how I live, and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love, and my endurance. Paul is talking to his spiritual son, Timothy. And he gave him, Timothy, a charge. And he's not only giving him a charge, but he's saying to Timothy, Timothy, examine my life. You know my life. You know how I carry myself. How are you going to preach to somebody? You're going to preach to the congregation, but you're living contrary to how you're preaching. Timothy, Paul is saying to Timothy, you know how I live, how I carry, how I treat people. You know my patience with people. You know my love for the people. You know how I enjoy everything that comes against me. This is what you talk about when you're living for Christ. This is after Paul had an encounter with Jesus on his way to Damascus. He's not the same person. You see them gay people and lesbians and the people fornicate and the prostitutes and the people selling dope and stuff on the street. If you would just show them love, you would be compassionate. They already know their sin. You don't go tell them about their sin. Tell them about the love of Jesus Christ. Because as you start telling you, oh, you got to stop being a homosexual, you got to stop being a lesbian, they're going to rebuttal. They're going to get up. They're going to set up their horns. All their razor blades are going to come out their pocket to cut you up because you're attacking them. But if you come and say, brother, I just want to tell you that I love you. Can I pray with you? And you pray love. Father, I just thank you for my brother. Thank you for my sister. Lord, I know you died on the cross so that they can have life and have it more abundantly. Father, I pray today that you would just touch them wherever they need help in their heart. God, you know their concerns. You know their needs. They might not know their needs, but you know their needs. Grant them their needs. Simple prayer. And just tell them, look, I love you. I just want to let you know I love you. But God loves you more. And go on about your business. He says to Timothy, you know how much persecution and suffering I have endured. You know all about how I was persecuted in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. But the Lord rescued me from all of it. Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. See what Paul says. There's no way around it. You want to wear your fancy suit? You want to have your fancy robes on? You're going to suffer persecution. Paul says so. But evil people and impostors will flourish. They will deceive others and will themselves be deceived. But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You have a lot of people that is preaching and teaching the gospel, but they're not living the gospel. They're even being deceived. Hallelujah. Somebody was telling me, I was doing a job last week. I was putting down a cast iron flange for the toilet. Over in Randolph, came Massachusetts. And the deacon told me, he said, you know, Bishop so-and-so. He said, you know, he got so-and-so church now. He said, got the big church over there now. He's running the church now. Well, the people lead the church. Some of the people may have stayed. Said, because, you know, the pastor was there. He was a strong pastor, you know. Oh, he was a good pastor. But he was a good pastor. He was a good pastor. But where he is now? No, he's in jail. Hopefully he's preaching in jail. He is in jail because he was charged for being a pedophile. He's preaching the gospel, sound doctrine, but not living it. Hallelujah. We're not pointing our fingers at everybody because I got my own skeletons in my closet. You got your skeletons in the closet too. All of us have skeletons. And maybe that you don't want to have nobody. That may be your skeleton. You don't give nobody a ride because you're afraid that they're going to kill you when they get in the car. Just saw something on the news this morning that a woman was trying to help somebody and get the whole gist of it. But they said she was trying to give somebody help somewhere, and they turned around and killed her. Well, you got to not because you're a preacher. You can die. I can die. We can, all of us can be murdered. But you have to use wisdom. I mean, there's some place you go. You got to ask God. God, should I help this person? Hey, God, if I'm going to help them, Lord, I need your protection because I really don't know them. I really don't know that person, Lord. So I need you to protect me, shield me, touch their heart that they don't hurt me. And see, if you would just speak that thing and put it in the atmosphere, God, he is committed to honoring his word. You say you'll never leave me or forsake me, God, so I need you. I need you, oh God, to protect me while I'm ministering to these people over here on this street. Lord, I'm going down here because I want to share your word. I want to touch somebody with your word. God, send angels with me. I can't see the angels in this spirit realm, but Lord, I know they're with me. If you say you send them, ask God to send the treasure. Send our angel Gabriel and Michael, Raphael. Send them. Those are the strongest angels of heaven. Those are the ones that fight the war, lead the heavenly host. Gabriel and Michael and Raphael. Pray for those three. You don't have to have all them. Those three can destroy whole nations. Hallelujah. Remember when Daniel was praying, he only sent two, Gabriel and Michael, one and two. And they were able to mess up them, all of them demons from Persia. You just got to pray. But don't go into some place without talking to God, getting God advice of what to do and what not to do, where to go. Now, sometimes God says, son, don't go down there. No need for you to go down there. I'll take care of it. Don't go. God has sent somebody else that are able to deal with that person. Have enough faith with the enemies that they're carrying. Paul says to Timothy, but you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You hear that? You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood. Saul bringing back, he's Paul now, he's bringing back everything to, bringing back to Timothy's memory, his grandparents was teachers, was faithful mothers of the church. He says, they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. This is the word of God, what God says. Let's go to John chapter 15. I want to give you some stuff today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. John chapter. We're talking because a lot of people don't, you know, people say, well, if he's a man of God, why? If she's a woman of God, why is she going through with so much stuff? God said you're going to be persecuted. Jesus says they persecute me, they're going to persecute you. We read it earlier. He said they persecute me, they're going to persecute you. Hallelujah. We don't want to go through anything. Why am my car breaking down? Every time I look around, my car's broken down. Why I don't have enough food in my fridge? Why don't I have no money? Or why? Well, at least you got some food. There's people that don't have no food at all. I just said to, we, Block Talk family just sent some kids back to school in Africa. Didn't have no food, put food on the table in Africa. Block Talk family just did that. Because I never say I do something because I work, because, you know, I got the job because God gave me the job. But I always say, we do. When I do it, we do it. When you do it, we do it. We got to help the people. John chapter 15, let's start at verse 18. If the world hates you, remember that it hates me first. Hear what Jesus said. That's an NLT. Let me go into the King James Version so you can see it here a little bit better. John chapter 15. I'm going to jump back and forth. John chapter 15, beginning at verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Jesus has made this stuff so plain for us. I mean, he put this thing down so clear. Hallelujah. Remember what I told you. A slave is not greater than the master. Since they persecuted me, naturally, they will persecute you. If they had listened to me, they would listen to you. Hallelujah. They will do all this to you because of me, for they have rejected the one who sent me. See, they rejected the Father. Hallelujah. They rejected the Son. They're going to reject you too. They're going to reject me too. Hallelujah. They would not be guilty if I had not come and spoken to them. But now they have no excuse for their sin. They see the light of God, who is Jesus, expose the darkness of this world, which is sin. He said, anyone who hates me also hates my Father. If I hadn't come, if I hadn't done such miraculous signs among them that no one else could do, they would not be guilty. But as it is, they have seen everything I did, yet they still hate me and my Father. This fulfills what is written in the scriptures. They hated me without cause, but I will send you the advocate, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. And you must also testify about me because you have been with me from the beginning of my ministry. Do you hear what God is saying? Listen to what the scriptures say. He has opened these scriptures for us today. That don't matter what the world is saying, we know the truth. You know the truth. I know the truth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go to Mark chapter 10. And let us start at verse 28. Mark chapter 10. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily or surely I said unto you, there is no man that have left house or brethren or sisters or father or mothers or wife or children or land for my sake and the gospel. But he shall receive an hundredfold, now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and land with persecution. And in the world to come, eternal life. Hear what Jesus says. You're going to have all of the things that you want in this world. But while you're having these things that God has blessed you with, you're going to get persecuted.
They're not without persecution. You hear what I'm saying? So you have to be ready. Revelation chapter 2. Go to Revelation chapter 2. King James Version. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And verses, here we are. Glory to God. 10 and 11. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall be, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Hear what Jesus is saying. It's written in the King James Bible in red. Fear none of those things, talking about the tribulations and the poverty, all the things that will happen to you. If you don't pay them no mind, they're going to come. But if you be faithful unto death, he said, I will give you a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Hear what Jesus is saying, people. We must be more concerned about the second death. We live in a world where people are concerned about here and now. 2 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians, King James Version. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And verse 9 and 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Listen to Paul, what he's saying. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities or suffering, in persecution, and reproaches, and necessities, and in persecutions, and distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. This is the word of God. I'm telling you what God is saying to us. We're going to go through. Go to Galatians chapter 4, King James Version. We're going to go through. This is not going to be an easy catwalk. If you're looking for a catwalk, you're in the wrong place. This is going to be suffering. It's going to be persecution. People are going to talk about you. People are going to scratch up your car, cut up your car. People are going to do all type of stuff to you. People are going to tell your wife, tell your husband stuff about you. They're going to say stuff about you. Oh, my God, they're going to even lie upon you that you got to go before the judge. Remember, it's all about being faithful unto Christ. Jesus was faithful unto the cross, unto death. The Bible says he never said a mumbling word, even unto the cross. He said, but as, verse 29, Galatians 4 and 29, but as then was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Now, when you're walking in the Spirit, the ones that are not in the Spirit, they walk in the flesh. They're going to persecute you. They persecuted Jesus. He was not in the flesh. He was in the Spirit. He was God in the flesh. But his Spirit had total control over his flesh. Because the Bible says that he saved us from sin, yet he had no sin. Why? Because he's walking in the Spirit. Go to Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter 20 in the NLT. Let's go there fast. We got some scripture I want to give to you. I give you so much today because if I got to go to this job tomorrow, you'll have enough to keep it overnight. Jeremiah chapter 20. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 20 and 11. And this is all so powerful already. You can read that from verses 7 to 15, 16. But I'm only going to come in here 11. And this is what it says. Jeremiah 20, 11. But the Lord stands beside me like a great warrior. Before him, my persecutors will stumble. Before him, my persecutors will stumble. They cannot defeat me. They will fail and be thoroughly humiliated. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. You hear what Jeremiah's in here? God will walk with you. He will stand beside you. He will keep you, secure you. He will protect you. He is your shield. He is your buckler. He is your strong tower. When you are in him, you have safety. Revelation. Revelation chapter 17. NLT. Revelation chapter 17. This is all in this book. There's so many scriptures in here about you coming true. You being standing firm while being persecuted. You victor. 17 and 6 says, I could see that she was drunk. Drunk with the blood of God's holy people who were witnesses for Jesus. I stared at her in complete amazement. Listen, she persecuted God's people. Jezebel. Don't you know that people are going to persecute you? And they get happy. Listen, their happiness is like being drunk when they persecute you. Hallelujah. And the King James Version says, for they have shed the blood of the saints and prophets. And thou hast... No, that's 17. Wrong scripture. 17 and 6. I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Why he was admiring? He was admiring how the saints of God were faithful unto death. John was seeing this. He was admiring what she did to them. He was admiring them for being faithful unto death. They become martyrs for the kingdom. How much are we willing to give up? How much are we willing to lose for the kingdom? How much? We want to hold on to everything here on earth. We don't want to let go of anything. And we can't carry anything from here. But Job said, naked I come into this world and naked I will leave. You can't take anything from here. First John chapter 3. Glory to God. First John chapter 3, verse 1. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Do you hear that? You wonder, excuse me, you wonder why they're so apt to persecute us, because they don't know the one that we are serving. They don't know. Go to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Glory to God, to God, to God be the glory. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. See, they will persecute you because you are giving God your best, your worship, your praise. You're giving to God. They will persecute you. 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, NLT. 1 Kings chapter 19. When you give your best, man, I'm telling you something. I say something, I say my family. I say, well, why you always got to give this to the people call, because you say on Blog Talk Media that you give to the poor. That's why everybody call you to help. I said, well, babe, if I have, I'm going to give to people. If I don't have it, I can't give. And I pray for God to give me help. Help me so I can help people. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 2. So Jezebel sent the messengers to Elijah. May the God strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you killed them. She started persecuting the man of God, just the words. And Elijah became scared. Because now at this particular time, Elijah is not in focus. Because the words that he heard took him out of focus. Don't listen to these people coming and telling you this and saying stuff about you. Keep your mind on Christ Jesus. The Bible says he will keep you in perfect peace. Keep your mind on Christ. Here in 1 Kings 19. I want to look at the King James Version. 1 Kings. This is the same Jezebel we just talked about in Revelation chapter 20. Listen to it. In 19 in King James Version. And she said to Elijah, she sent messages to, Then Jezebel sent a message unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And Elijah, now you're just talking to you. You're listening and watching a man that just called on fire from heaven. He had just killed 850 false prophets. 850 total. And one little bitty woman got him trembling in his pants. Because he listened to the words. The Bible says, death and life is in the power of the tongue. They that love it should eat the fruit. They are Proverbs 18:21. You got to know that words have power. But you don't have to be moved by the words that you hear. Especially when they're not coming from God. God's words is the words that have to move you and keep you. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, we almost finished. 1 Thessalonians, I'm just trying to get these words in here, of course. If I'm not here tomorrow, at least I got them on here today. And if I'm back here tomorrow early, the Lord will give me something. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 4 says, even while we were with you, we warn you that trouble would soon come. And they did, as you well know. That is why, verse 5, that's verse 4, verse 5. That is why when I could bear it no longer, I sent Timothy to find out whether your faith was still strong. I was afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of you and that our work had been useless. So Paul sent the evangelist, sent him over to talk to the people. The congregation at Thessalonica, to talk to them, because he was afraid that all that the trials and tribulation that will be faced, they're sent by the tempter, the devil himself, would cause them to deviate from the truth. But he was wanting to know if the faith would still be standing strong. Revelation chapter 6. See, it's your faith that's going to hold you. Don't be moved by what you hear or what you see. Only what God says. Revelation chapter 6, verses 9-11. When the Lamb broke the first seal, I saw under the altar the souls of all who had been martyred for the word of God and for being faithful in their testimony. They shouted to the Lord and said, O sovereign Lord, holy and true. How long before you judge the people who belong to this world and avenge our blood for what they have done to us? Then a white robe was given to each of them, and they were told to rest a little longer until the full number of their brothers and sisters, their fellow servants of Jesus who were to be martyred, had joined them. Many people will lose their life for the kingdom. Are you ready? Are you ready to lose yours? You know, you hear people say, oh, I can't wait to go to heaven. But they don't want to die. Revelation chapter 20, last scripture, King James Version. Verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. And judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word. These are ones that was underneath the stairs. And which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Jesus, with Christ, 1,000 years. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. I'm telling you right now, people of God, if you're not willing to suffer, you're not willing to reign. Hallelujah. I even wrote some scriptures down to how to pray, scriptures to pray for the persecuted believers. But we want to talk about persecution today. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you for the word that you gave to us today to release in the atmosphere that your people might hear. We ask, Father God, that you bless us with spirits to receive what you have given us. Give us clear understanding, O God, that we don't just be hearers of the word, but that we become doers of the word. Father, we thank you, O God, for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you will do. We ask you to bless Prophetess Kersey as she's going about her way. Ask, O God, protect Brother Minister Jones as he's on the road doing, working. Lord, protect his wife on her job. Protect Brother Deacon Fraser, Lord. He's so faithful every day he comes. And Apostle Stewart and Pastor Joyce Stewart. They had a good crowd at the church on Sunday. Had an evangelist from out of town came to preach for him on Sunday. And he always blessed the people anywhere. And we just thank God for them. Lord, thank God for their ministry and for what you're doing in their ministry. We pray, Father God, that even today, Lord God, that we, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we never like to really open the line without giving you an opportunity to come to Jesus, to come and repent before the Lord Jesus Christ and acknowledge your sinful lifestyle before him. Jesus is at the door of your heart, even right now. And he's knocking. And if you'll be faithful enough to open the door and invite him in, he will come into your heart. And he will sup with you and you with him. You see, the Father loved him, loved us so much, loved you so much, that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe on him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus came, laid down his life. The Bible says that no one took his life from him. He laid it down that he might take it back. Hallelujah. So in order for you to experience this life that Jesus is talking about, that he laid down and take back up, you must surrender. You can't be unsurrendered. You must surrender. That means that you must submit your life to him. Lord, this is my life. I'm giving it to you. I'm tired of doing what I was doing. Today I want you to orchestrate my life, direct my life, direct my path, order my steps in your word. I need you, Jesus. The Bible said that you must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is Acts 2:38. The Bible said that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. All, A-double-A, do you hear what I said? All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God is so faithful and just that he looked beyond all faults and see our needs. The Bible says that he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is the God that loves us so much. Jesus came to this world to seek and to save that which is lost. That means all of us, because all of us were lost. And he came to seek and save us. Not only this, after he saved us, he gave us the Spirit to keep us walking in that straight and narrow path. But we also have a will that we also call a choice. You can will to walk in the path, or you can make the choice not to walk in the path. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. If you believe that Jesus did all this that I'm telling you, on a hill called Calvary, on a hill called Golgotha, on a hill called the Skull, it's the same hill, but it has many names, you will be saved. But you have to repent first. That's the first thing that you need to do. You need to repent. Repenting means that you need to turn away from your sinful way. You hear what I'm saying? You need to stop sinning. That's what you got to do. Turn away from your sinful way and turn to Christ Jesus. Give your heart completely over to him, and Jesus will come on in. So if you're ready to do that now, you can say with me, say, Lord Jesus, I heard the word today. I believe the word. I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I now denounce Satan and all of his agents. Jesus, come into my heart. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Forgive my sins and make me whole again. I receive you now, Jesus, as my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. If you just said that quick, easy prayer, you have just received the gift of salvation. Understand? It is yours. Now, you want to get a Bible and study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because you want to get an understanding of this Jesus Christ that we are preaching and that we are teaching about every day here on Blog Talk Radio. You can't get the full understanding by just hearing the preacher just do a sermon. You got to go into the book for yourself. Go into the book and go in there daily. Not today, not tomorrow. Go in there every day. Every chance that you get, go in the book. Open the book. Get the book inside of you. Do you hear me? Get it in like my pastor said. Don't get in the book. Get the book in you. Get it inside of you. Go and get the book inside your heart. So once you get it in there, you begin to start walking, talking, and living the life that glorifies Jesus. You hear me? Your life will never be the same. But you have to take a stand. You have to take a stand for righteousness. Go in there. Glory to God. Go in there and study the Word of God. And then I want you to call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, tell them that you received the gift of salvation. You're studying the Word, but you want to be baptized. You need to be baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And before you get baptized, call up your friends, your family, your co-workers, anybody that you can get to come. Even your enemies, invite them to come to this, your baptism. And I'm telling you something, that one of the people or two of the people, or maybe all of them that come to your baptism, may be touched by the sermon that the preacher preached, leading you to your baptism. And they might say they want to get baptized or they want to get saved. Because if they don't know Jesus, they're not going to get baptized. The pastor that knowing the truth is not going to baptize them if they don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, because you got to know him first before you can get baptized. That's what Peter said. You got to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You got to know him, repent for your sins, accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and then you're a candidate to be baptized. But we would teach you all about baptism before we baptize you. You understand? And so invite your friends, your family, co-workers, and even your enemies to your great baptism. Okay? And when you do that, now we're ready to be baptized. And when you're going down the water, we call it the liquid grave. And that is where you're going down with the mindset that you're leaving everything about you that's not about God in that grave. And when you go down there, my God, you're leaving all the things that held you captive in the water. And then you come back about that water in the righteousness of who Christ said you are. You are the righteousness of Christ in Jesus Christ. And you come up there. Now find you a church. Seek for a church that's teaching and preaching the gospel. You hear what I'm saying? Teaching, preaching, and living the gospel. You want to be in that kind of church and get yourself involved. Glory to God. Thank God for you all. If you're backslidden, rededicate your life. Give your life back to Christ and get back on track. Hear me? Your life will never be the same. Glory to God. We thank God for you. We praise God for you. We pray that you continue to walk in this walk to glorify God, that your life continue to change and continue to be the light. We praise God for you. Have a blessed day, a safe day, and we pray that God continue to work in you and work through you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen and amen. We're going to get over here now and go straight at my truck and put my tools in order, and we'll talk to you later. Father, we thank you and praise you for the word that you have given us today. And Lord, we know that we are being persecuted even by some friends. We are persecuted by the enemy. And we are persecuted by enemies. Enemies of family, enemies, friends, enemies. Oh, God, we are persecuted, Lord, for your name's sake and for the word. But, God, we ask you to keep us safe and secure, Lord, that you continue to watch over us, that you continue to keep us. Lord, we ask you to continue to keep Brother Deacon Fraser safe, oh, God, as he traveled the highway to come and pick him up and take him to work and bring him back. Lord, keep him safe and keep his family safe, his mother safe, and all those that are out there in computer land that's working and are being stressed out because of the gospel, because of their lifestyle or whatever. Lord, we ask to keep safe. Protect the people, Lord, and protect our nation. Protect the government, oh, God. We pray today for safety over President Trump. Lord, we ask you to protect his family, protect his son, Barron. In the name of Jesus, that the leftist is treading his son's life. But God, we ask, Lord, that you protect Barron, protect his wife and all his other children. Let no hurt, harm, or danger come to him. Father, we ask, Father God, as he goes to campaign, Lord God, we ask, God, to give him supernatural power. And even if they put him in jail, Lord, we ask you, God, to cause the people to vote, cause the people to sow into his campaign, oh God. Lord, we pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you open the eyes of the blind, unstop the ears of the deaf today, Lord God. Because so many people are walking around and they're blind. Some people are hearing, but they can't hear. They can't perceive.
what they're hearing. Lord, we pray today in the name of Jesus for deliverance for this country, restoration for this country, that you, oh God, cause a revival to break out in the four corners of this nation, in the center, all over, that people begin to wake up to the truth, to the spirit and power of God. And Father, as you do this, we'll be so careful to give you all the glory and all the honor. Lord, bless us in the city, bless us in the field, bless us when we come and bless us when we go. Father, continue to make us the head and not the tail. Set us above and not beneath. Make us the lenders and not the borrowers. And Father, we're careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Have a blessed day. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you loved them, and Jesus is the only way. It is a word that you might speak into somebody's ear today. It will make all the difference in their life. Stop someone from committing suicide. Stop someone from committing murder, from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said this way in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. He said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. All he needs to see is that what you see brings glory to the Father. It brings glory to the Son. Oh, God, it just brings glory to the Holy One of Israel. Glory to God, because what you're saying is just what he said. What you're doing is just what he did. In the mighty name of Jesus. I love you guys so much. But remember, God loves you more. I got to go get my tools together. So I'll be ready. God bless you all. Have a blessed day. We're going to try to see if we can be on here tomorrow. If not, we'll come back on Saturday afternoon. I should be back home in time. God bless you all. Have a blessed day. Goodbye.